Who will roll away the stone for us? Mark chapter 16. Now when the Sabbath was passed, that would be our Saturday, the first day of the week was our Sunday, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint Jesus. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen, and they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" Ah, there's my sermon. But they looked up and saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering into the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting in their right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter," a lovingly restoring word. Peter had denied Christ three times, and here he is commissioned. I'm going to restore Peter. "Go tell the disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. And there you will see him as he told you." And they went out quickly and fled from the tomb. They were trembling and filled with amazement, and they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for this beautiful Resurrection Sunday. These wonderful people that have come to gather to celebrate Jesus. Anoint your servant, your word, and your people. Holy Spirit, have your way. Father, your kingdom come, we will be done. Heal and save and deliver and help and encourage. Let this be a day of breakthrough for your people. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, I pray. Amen. This story begins, and it's they're coming now to do what was a common practice, that they would anoint and they would show their love by kind of embalming. They would use spices and a beautiful type of their care and love for Christ. And so they were coming to the stone, and halfway there, they suddenly realized, man, who's going to move that stone? That is a big honking stone. So the stone was heavy, it was large, it couldn't be moved by these women, that they were incapable. And so they were on their journey and realized they couldn't even fulfill what was necessary to accomplish it because of the impossibility of moving the stone. And so they asked them among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone? Who can help us?" And so the stone was heavy. The second part of the stone was, the other Gospels tell us, the stone, the tomb had been surrounded by soldiers. The Jewish leaders were afraid that someone would come and steal the body and then claim that he was resurrected somewhere. And so they talked the Romans into assigning soldiers who came there, who were guarding the tomb. So it was protected. And thirdly, it was sealed. It was sealed by Roman agency and by Jewish authority. So it was heavy. It was protected and sealed. And from those three points, I felt like the Holy Spirit gave me this simple little message to you this morning. Who will roll away the stone for us? First point is Jesus Christ has rolled away the stone of sin from our lives. This is an important thing because the heaviest burden in all of life is the burden of unforgiven sin. And every person that has never received Christ is carrying that burden. And when you have that burden, you do all kinds of things to try to get rid of it, to try to remove it, to try to release your heart from the burden of shame and guilt and the darkness and the uncertainty that clouds your life. And so a psychiatrist is a good thing, but he can't take that burden from you. A psychologist, a counselor, a therapist, they're all good, but they can't remove the burden of sin for you. The family you love and people that care for you, they can do all kinds of things for you, but they're incapable of removing the great weight of sin that burdens your heart. So our generation, we try all kinds of things. We try cannabis, and we try cocaine, and we try drugs, and we try alcohol, we try entertainment. We try all kinds of things, and almost all of those things have the common denominator, the common united purpose of people trying to find peace in their heart in this lifetime. And without Jesus, it's impossible to get there. But when you know Jesus, he lifts the burden of our sins. And that is the good news of the gospel, that you don't have to live your life bent over carrying the heavy weight. Jesus Christ has rolled away the burden of sin. He has done it. The Bible speaks so beautifully of it. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, "This is a faithful saying, worthy to be accepted by everyone, that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief." That's why Jesus came. He didn't come to preach some sermons. He preached better than anyone ever had. He didn't come to heal folks. He healed better than we'd ever seen. He came to give himself as a living sacrifice, as the Lamb of God, to take away our sins. That's the good news of the gospel. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he, the Father, made him, the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." Jesus took your place on the cross. He bore your sins. God gathered up the sins of mankind, past, present, and future, and put them on his Son. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we could be forgiven. That is the great news of the gospel. Romans 5:8 says this: "God showed, demonstrated, and proved his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus died for sinful, imperfect, broken people. That's you and I. God loves the broken world we live in. God's not at war with mankind. God's not trying to destroy mankind. Christ Jesus is the proof of God's intention, how God feels about us. Pastor, how can I know God loves me? Jesus is the proof of how much God loves you. And he loves you eternally and unconditionally. Romans 6:23 says the wages, the punishment, the reward, the consequence of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for taking my place. Thank you, Father, for giving us this grace. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. Let me say this about eternal life. Eternal life does not begin the moment you die. Everlasting life begins the moment you are born again. And if you're born again, you have the life of God in you. You have eternal life in you. That life that has no end. Life that lasts forever and ever. Man, oh man, is that good news? Is that good news for all of us? In the book of Revelation, John the apostle had a vision of Christ, and so many awesome things happened. But one of the things, John introduces his revelation by saying this: "To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to God the Father." To him that loved us and washed us from our sins. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Your sinless blood took the place of my sinful blood, and you washed my sins away. That is nothing but good news for all of us. Galatians 1:4 says, "Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age." Jesus willingly went to the cross. He wasn't tricked there. He wasn't trapped there. He wasn't deceived there. The cross was his mission, not his mistake. He came to die for us. He came to take our place. And remind yourself every day that the forgiving grace of God is yours, and it will change your day. It will create gratitude in your heart. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In him we have redemption." Redemption is to buy back something that has been lost. In him we have restoration. In him we have redemption. What is that? Even the forgiveness of sin through his blood. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for forgiving our sins. The stone's been rolled away. David prophesied of what Christ would do in Psalm 103. When David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your disease, who redeems your life from destruction, and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. That's what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Micah 7 says that God said this, you will cast all our sins into the depth of the sea. If you're forgiven, just give God a praise for a minute. Just thank him. Thank you, God. If you know salvation is yours, redemption, eternal life in Jesus Christ. The second point is, just like the soldiers protected the grave, until Christ came, Satan, like a wild, ravenous, hateful, murderous criminal, was causing havoc all over the world. But my second point is, Jesus Christ has rolled away the stone of Satan's power over our lives. Satan's not going to be defeated. Satan was defeated at the cross. Jesus so defeated him, Colossians says, he spoiled him, that he emptied Satan of his treasury, emptied Satan of his authority. And then Jesus said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Now I give it to you. That's what Christ has given us. He's given us authority over the enemy. There's something so strategic here. Satan is a fallen angel. He was an archangel named Lucifer, angel of light, and he fell out of heaven because of pride with one third of heaven's angels. And so when he's watching the creation, he's watching how much God loves Adam and Eve, and he sees Adam so loved in God's heart for Adam, and he knows by personal experience how much God hates sin. So Lucifer, Satan, had this great idea that he's going to outsmart God, and he says, I know what I'll do. I'll put what God hates, sin, into what God loves, man. And that God will be in a quandary, a dilemma. That God will be caught up in a contradiction, because then if God is to love what he loves, man, he'll have to love what he hates, sin. Or if God hates what he hates, sin, he'll have to hate what he loves, man. And Satan must have been so happy in the garden. But even then, God prophesied and said to the woman, the seed will come out of you, and his heel will crush the head of the enemy. And Jesus on the cross outwitted, outsmarted God, or excuse me, the devil. When the devil said, now we've got him, but finally a sinless man, a perfect man, a God man, Emmanuel, died. And when he died, he bore our sins. And then God removed the enmity. God removed the thing he hated from the heart of man. God's never hated sinners. He's always just hated sin. He hates sin because of the destruction it does to people he loves. God loves the world. He loves people. He loves his children. He wants them all to come home. And through Jesus Christ, we have this victory. A couple of scriptures I want you to see. The Bible says in Revelation 12:11, a great scripture for all believers that says this, and they, the church, the last day church, the body of Christ, overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. God says about you, you are an overcomer. You have authority. The only authority the devil has over you is the things he's lied to you about. Satan rules by deception and not by authority, because his authority was stripped from him in the cross. And now when you bind the devil, he is bound. And now when you rebuke the devil, he is rebuked. And now when you take authority, he is silenced and stopped. You have authority in your family. You have authority in every realm of your influence to stop the enemy because of Christ. The stone of satanic power, the stone of hell's engagement against mankind, has been rolled away by the precious blood of Jesus. James 4 says this, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Everything you submit to God, you have authority to remove the devil's influence. The Message Bible says, shout aloud no to the devil and watch him scamper away. Jesus said to the disciples and threw them to us in Luke chapter 10, he said, I give you authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Jesus said, I give you devil stomping, devil busting, devil killing authority. Just take out your devil boots, your good Arizona cowboy boots, or your high heels, ladies, or your Nike tennis shoes, doesn't matter, or your sandals, Pastor Joe, it doesn't matter to God. He said, you have authority. The newest Christian in this room, maybe you just received Christ a half an hour ago during the communion, you have authority to rebuke the devil. You have authority over all his weapons and works. That's the good news that God has given us. Jesus said in Mark 16, these signs will follow them that believe in my name. And the first thing he said, they'll cast out devils. Oh, they'll cast out demons. The third point about the stone being rolled away, who will roll away the stone for us? Jesus Christ has rolled away the stone of death and hell from our lives. The book of Revelation, John has this incredible vision that lasts for a duration of time of heaven, of eternity, of the future. And he sees Christ in his present form. And Jesus then speaks to John. He says this in Revelation chapter 1, I am he that lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. He conquered death, and I have, and then he shows John, and I have the keys of hell and of the grave. Those keys that Satan caused havoc over mankind. But now in this world as a believer, your eternity has been settled by God. Your eternity is now a surety in your heart, your life. When you close your eyes for the last time in this world, you will open them in the next world. When you take your last breath in this lifetime, you will take your first breath in eternity in heaven. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. I've conquered. I've broken the power of darkness. I've broken the power of the grave. We sang it. Oh, grave, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your power? Jesus said this in John chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he may die, yet shall live. And he that lives and believes in me shall never die. What does that mean? Every person he spoke to in that moment had physical death. But every person he spoke to in that moment had eternal life. And when their bodies stopped living, their spirits did not. The real you is not your body. That's your earth suit. The real you is your personality, your spirit, your soul. The union of your heart where your soul and your spirit live together. And that's who you are. And in Christ we have eternal life. Hebrews 2 says this about the great victory Christ has given us. Inasmuch then, verse 14, as the children have been partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, Jesus, likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So the greatest fear is the fear of death. It is the root of all fears comes from that. What will happen in my future? What happens in that great unknown? And so that fear has been all through history the most dominant thing. And before Christ, there was uncertainty about it. And then Jesus said, I have control of your future. You don't have to be, listen, when you are unafraid of dying, you're unafraid of living. When you know eternity is in God's hands, then you can live a life that is fearless because Christ has redeemed you from fear. That's done nothing but good news. Amen. Lastly, the Bible says in John 3:16, one of my favorite scriptures, for God so loved the world, that's you and I, that he gave us his only begotten son, that's Jesus, that whoever believes in Jesus would not perish, but would have everlasting life, immortal life, unending life, life that has no end, life that cannot be defeated, conquered, life that cannot come to an end. That's what God has given us in Jesus. That's eternal life. Everlasting life doesn't begin the moment you die. It begins the moment you're born again. And you and I have everlasting life. And I just want to remind you, listen, on your worst day as a believer is better than your best day as a non-believer. Your worst day as a Christian is better than your best day as a non-Christian, as a person that doesn't know Jesus. Remind yourself every day, the stone's been rolled away. Thank you for listening to me today. Would you stand to your feet? Prayer team, would you join me at the altar?